Okay, so this morning, you will notice the title of our sermon being Snake Bitten. So hopefully I have not scared too many people away with that sermon title. It is a legitimate scripture in the Bible that we're going to talk about snakes and poisonous snakes. I did not bring a bag of snakes with me, so I couldn't find any, so we don't have any here today. And I didn't think it would be a good idea to bring a pole with a snake on the top of it, like was in the scripture either. So there are no snakes that I know of. Now, I can't help what might be around here in the building, but I think it's still a little bit cold, so I think we're okay. All right, so with that being said, I'm going to draw your attention to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. And I'm going to invite you to hear God's word as presented in the Old Testament. From Mount Or, they set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So part of the way that we can sum that scripture up is complain, 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 and just keep right on complaining. This is what the Israelites were doing, and they'd become rather good at doing it. I mean, it's kind of like taking a long trip with your kids. We've said this before: are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Or being around maybe somebody, there's just nothing that's ever right. No matter what you do, no matter what good you do for them, there's nothing that ever makes them happy. I mean, you can give them $1 million and then they're going to complain about having to go to the bank to deposit it. Or you can give somebody a good grade with extra credit on a test, but then they complain about having to do the extra credit. Or just, you know what I'm talking about, just one thing after another. No matter what you do for people, they just want to complain. That's what their life is about. So when we look at the Israelites here, I mean, we might say, is it not enough that they have been delivered from the oppression of Egypt? That Moses was called to lead them out of Egypt's oppression to the promised land? And that God is with them and God is directing them, God is guiding them, God is giving them that direction and that structure and that order in their life, and He has rescued them from a place that was horrible? Are they not happy with that? But the point is, a lot of people are just simply not going to be happy. I don't even know if these Israelites, at the point that they are, that they want anything other than to complain. I mean, Moses is doing this, or the food is bad. My feet are sore. My feet are tired. I'm not getting enough sleep. Well, we're going to die out here in the wilderness. We've already been attacked a couple times, and this is never mind the fact they were being oppressed over here. They complain about the food, this manna, which is a bread from heaven. They're calling it a cursed bread because they're tired of it. They're tired of eating it. I mean, they want anything other than what they're getting. So they're not happy with what they have. Where they are is they have put themselves, notice I said they have put themselves into a position of being negative. They put themselves into a position of self-pity and being hopeless and not being happy with their situation and not being happy with any situation. Again, these are the people that at the time, I believe you could give them $1 million and they're going to complain about having to fill out the deposit slip and go to the bank. But this is not an uncommon position. It's not an uncommon position when we think in terms of our Lenten series of the Scripture. our Lenten program of rehabilitation. Today we're talking about recovery. We're talking about where we are in recovery. And these people, well, they're in a position that they are. They're in a position that they are, and they don't want to trust. And they don't want to do anything about it. They want to complain. They want to say, everything is good. I'm good right here. But it's the stuff out here that's the problem. So they think everything is okay. But it's not an uncommon position that people find themselves on a road to recovery. That they're in a place that they think they're okay, but everybody else around them is looking and saying, you ain't there yet. You ain't there yet. I mean, these people were not there. Moses is delivering them from the oppression of Egypt. God is looking down and he's saying to them, you're not there yet. You don't have that faithful obedience. You don't have that focus on the things that are important. You're not focused on me. That song I shared that I heard on the radio this morning. They're not focused on the right things. Sometimes we focus too much on the healing rather than healer. We focus too much on the saving rather than the Savior. We focus too much on the deliverance rather than the deliverer. See, what God wants from them and what God wants from us is to be focused on Him. To be put to have that faithful obedience, to be focused on Him above all else. But these people, these Israelites, they're in this position that is all about them. They're not happy, so nobody's going to be happy, and they're in a bad place. And unfortunately for them, God sees this, and He does something about it. The complaining, well, He had had enough of it. The doubt, He had had enough of it. The faithlessness, the disobedience, He had enough of. And so He sent these poisonous serpents among the people. And as a result, many Israelites died along the way. Now, we can debate whether or not they were actually snakes or were sin, or if it was something else that caused them to have this change in heart. But nevertheless, God did something. And it caused them to change their mind. God sent, according to the scriptures, these poisonous serpents among the people. These fiery snakes. And then the Israelites realized that we have made a serious miscalculation. They realized the error of their position. They realized the depth of the pity hole that they had dug about complaining and not being able to get out of it. And they went begging to Moses, saying, we messed up. They confessed their sin for speaking out against God. They confessed their sin for speaking out against Moses, the one who had been called to deliver them from the oppression that they were dealing with. And what did Moses do? Back to what we said in our prayer time. There's nothing, anything that's ever greater than prayer. And there's no greater gift than to offer someone than prayer. And that's what Moses did. Moses prayed for these people. Despite their disobedience, despite their faithlessness, despite their doubt, despite their complaining and griping and all that stuff that they were doing, Moses prayed for them. And then the Lord responded to Moses by telling him to take a serpent, to take one of the poisonous serpents, put it on a pole, and that it would be a bronze staff. And once he did this, anyone who was bitten should peer upon this pole, should gaze upon this pole, they should look at this pole, and if they did, they would not die after this snake bite, after being snake bitten, after being exposed to the world. We can look at it in a broader sense. After being conformed to the world rather than to the Word of God, conformed to the world rather than God Himself. So after they had been exposed to the world and received that bite, that wound, that scar, whatever it is, if they were to peer upon something that was made because God directed it to be made, then they could be healed and that they could be lifted up past whatever it was that they were experiencing. When they got bit by the snake, they were to peer upon something that God created. They were to focus on God, fully on God, fully relying on God, fully intent on God, rather than their own self-serving position. So if we think about that for a minute, what Moses is saying to these people through the conversation that he has with God is he's saying that you have to focus on God rather than your circumstance. You have to focus on God rather than the world. and this staff that God has instructed me to build. When you peer upon it, when you gaze upon it, then you can experience that change. When you focus on God, and it's not saying that you worship this staff, it is saying to remove those distractions and to focus on what is important. Because when we use that, what happened with them being bitten by snakes, they had been snake bitten because of their focus on the world. They had been snake bitten because of their focus on their individual needs rather than fully trusting in God. Well, when we look at our own lives today, our own lives are a lot like that in so many ways. We get into dark places. We're pretty good at complaining. We're pretty good at griping. And we think we have all the answers. And since we are so smart and we have all these answers and we like to gripe along the way, we only want to hear and we only want to see what we think the answer should be. So if we have ourselves in a situation, we're backed into a hole, we only want to see the answers that we want to see. So if we're praying for one particular thing, we want to see come to fruition what it is that we're praying for. So rather than focusing on God, we're focusing on the particular task that we want God to carry out. Rather than praying for God's will through His Son, Jesus Christ, we're saying we want to be rich and prosperous and never have another worry in our life. Rather than focus on God through Jesus Christ, we're saying that we want you to take this particular pain that we're having in our left knee, take that pain away and never have it again, rather than being made whole. Think to the hymn that we sang this morning. He touched me and He made me whole. Well, His definition of being made whole is a whole lot better than our definition of being made whole. That's why we pray for the will of God rather than for the particular task or the particular acts or actions that we want to see. But we get ourselves into a place because we act exactly like these Israelites did. Our focus on things is influenced by our understanding. Our focus on things is influenced by our positions and our views rather than the Lord's. We too become just like the Israelites. We too become snake bitten because of this world. And we get to this point in recovery, this series that we're in, we get this point in recovery, just like they did, where we seem to think that we are okay on the inside, and we have it together, we've really got it together, and that we're not going to go back, but we really do not. We really don't have things together. People in this world really don't have things together. We think everything is great, but there's still something that's missing. The good news that we have, though, is this. The good news that we have is this, thanks be to God. And it's John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And notice the reference back to the scripture in Numbers. And maybe you've not drawn this reference before, but think about it. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Those who believe in Him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true, they come to the light, so that it may clearly be seen that their deeds have been done in God. And that is God's Word through the Gospel. And we think about that connection that we see. So a lot of times we struggle with how is the Old Testament connected to the New Testament. We're right here in John chapter 3, verse 14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. So think about that just for a minute. When the Israelites were struggling, were being snake bitten because of the world, because of their choices, they were told to peer upon something that God had been instructed, or that God had instructed Moses to make. They were told to focus their attention on something that God directed. And so it is that we must too peer upon the revelation of God into this world. That we must appear upon the revelation of God to continue our recovery and for us to have a chance. You see, we cannot be delivered, we cannot be saved, we cannot have hope without Christ Jesus. When people were dying because of the snake bites on their journey through the wilderness in the book of Numbers, God said, gaze, focus, pay attention to me, and you will be saved. And when man had messed up this world so much to the point that the delivery from Egypt's oppression didn't work, the floods didn't fix it, the plagues didn't fix it, and all of this stuff that is out there, and we're at a point that we've become this sinful, broken world, God sent a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus Christ. And He said, look at my Son, behold the Lamb, the Savior of all mankind. Look upon Him, and you can be saved. For He loved us so much that He sent His Son, that all who believe in Him would not perish, but they would have eternal life. Moses held up the staff of the serpent and said, look at this and you won't die from the snake bite. Well, God has given us a Savior, Jesus Christ. Look upon my Son and you will not die, but you will have everlasting life. You see how they're connected? A focus on God and a focus on God. Focus on being obedient and following God's will and God's intentions, and focusing on God's grace and mercy through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is our message. This is what we have as our message to the ministry of discipleship. Gaze upon Jesus Christ as the Savior, the wonderful Messiah, the Counselor, the Lamb of God. Gaze upon Him, and your life can be different. People say, well, how do I witness to someone? I don't know what scripture to talk about if I have to talk to someone about my faith. Well, one of the best places to start is John 3, verses 14 through 21. God loved us so much that He sent His Son. And because you look at Him, because you focus on Him, and because you lead a changed life in Him, other people can also. And it's not because of what you do, but it's because of what God does through giving His grace and His mercy to you that we read about in Ephesians 2:8. Now, one of the things that I noticed in my preparation this week that was really interesting, and I hadn't really thought of it, but I want to borrow this and I want to share it with you, and I'll modify it a little bit also. But it comes out of our Lenten series overview on rehabilitation, and it's for this particular Sunday in Lent, and it talks about how we can gaze at things that are of God, and how we can have some serious self-examination when we do that. So what the exercise is, and I mean, if we've got time, we might participate in some of it now, or we may just let you spend time on it this weekend or this week. But the request is this: spend some time gazing at a depiction of Jesus Christ on the cross. It could be a picture in a book. It could be something you find on the internet. It could be a picture that you have at your house. But spend some time just staring at that image of Jesus Christ on the cross. And think about this kind of in terms too of Moses held up this staff with this serpent. People could be delivered from the snake bites that they had received because of the world. And over here, people stare upon or gaze upon Christ, the Savior of all mankind, to be lifted up from being snake bitten again because of the world, the scars and the wounds and the sins and everything else they've experienced. But take this to another level. Stare upon the image of Jesus Christ on that cross. What does it mean to your recovery? A recovering sinner, who you were. What does it mean to the recovery of others? And here's the hard part, but this is exactly what we try to do during Lent. As you look at that cross with Christ on it, as you gaze upon that cross with Christ on it, become aware of at least one practice that you have in your life. One thing that you may have done in the past, one thing that you're still doing, that may have been responsible for putting Jesus Christ on that cross. Think about it. We are the ones who crucified Christ. And our hope as we travel through Lent, as our hope as we are recovering sinners, our hope is that we never again crucify Christ. So what have you done? What have others done that put Christ on that cross? So that's the first part of it. The second part of it is think of at least one thing that shows how your life has turned in a better direction because of the practices that you participate in, putting Christ first. Where is it that you have been able to gaze upon something that God has directed and that we could be lifted up just like the Israelites in the wilderness and just like all mankind with Jesus Christ as our Savior? Sometimes that intentional focus, just staring at a cross and just praying. We're not worshiping that cross. We're not worshiping that cross if Jesus Christ was on it, if it's a depiction, because that would be idol worship. What we're simply doing with this cross and with this image of Christ on a cross, what we're doing, or the Alpha and the Omega, or our Bible, any of those things that we have, if we're looking at those things, we're simply using that to help focus our attention. I'm focusing, okay, on my faith right now. I'm not focusing on getting out of the building with an exit sign. I'm not focusing on who's winning the ball game with the scores or flipping through my phone trying to find that. I am focusing on the matter of my faith. And then ask those hard questions. That's called self-examination. And that's what we do during Lent. So I leave you with this. Where is it that we, when I say we, that's those that are in here, those in our family, those in our community, those that we're going to reach with our ministry as a church together, being part of the body of Christ. Where is it that we need to continue to gaze upon Christ that we may rise up from this snake-bitten society? Who is it that you need to tell that they may see the truth that is in Jesus Christ? And remember this, and this is the gift, and this is what God offers. This is our story. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but may have eternal life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.